It's tax season, and at LifeLock, we know you're tired of numbers. But here's a big one you need to hear. Billions. That's the amount of money and refunds the IRS has flagged for possible identity fraud. Now here's another big number. 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it guaranteed. One last big number. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast for the threats you can't control. Terms apply.
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Welcome in, everybody, to the latest edition of Inside Boxing Live, episode number 9. I'm your host, Dan Canobio, and we have a big one planned for you on this Martin Luther King Day. Happy MLK Day to all you people out there. On our show today, we have former WBO junior welterweight champion of the world, Chris Algieri, calling in from sunny Florida. We have Brian Campbell joining us. And we also have funny man, comedian, Al Foran. You don't want to miss this interview with Al Foran. He does some of the best impressions of major fighters. He does some Hollywood types. He even does a very famous president. So you don't want to miss that interview. Of course, you're watching here on YouTube, or if you're watching on the Pluto TV app, channel 205, the Fight Channel. If you can't get to a TV or a computer to watch Inside Boxing Live, you can catch us, our podcast version of the show. It's on iTunes, it's on Stitcher, it's on the Google Play app. I'm probably forgetting some, but however you ingest podcasts, you can find Inside Boxing Live by simply searching CompuBox TV or Inside Boxing Live. We have a lot of big announcements for 2018 in terms of getting this show out to you, the show for the fans. Inside Boxing Live. So we've had a little bit of a break on the show. We've also had a little bit of break of boxing in the ring. It's been about 4 weeks since the last major boxing card here in the States, when BJ Saunders disposed of David Lemieux. But you know what? There was still a lot of news and notes in boxing. I mean, the boxing schedule doesn't stop. Just because there's no fights doesn't mean that fights aren't being made or being discussed. Just recently, Anthony Joshua, Joseph Parker, done deal, March 31st. We got Deontay Wilder, Luis Ortiz, done deal, March 3rd. Triple G Canelo at the finish line. We will talk about all three of those fights with Brian Campbell coming up. Amir Khan signs with a new promoter. Jeff Horn, ready to fight. He's ready. Jeff Horn's ready to fight Terrence Crawford. And we saw a little bit of some flirting, some online flirting. Not the kind that we've been seeing in the headlines. But Mayweather and McGregor have been going at it, chirping back and forth. So a lot of news and notes here. But it brings us to some action in the ring as we kick off Spence Peterson Fight Week. As we kick off the 2018 schedule with Errol Spence taking on Lamont Peterson. Chris Algieri will join us in a little bit. He was in the ring with Errol Spence, and he knows just how tough Errol Spence is. So we'll get his thoughts on Errol Spence and this fight. We'll get Brian Campbell's thoughts as well. But here we are. We're finally here. We made it through a very long break from boxing. Errol Spence, Lamont Peterson. It kicks off at the Barclays Center. I'll be ringside along with the CompuBox team doing our thing there for Spence Peterson. It's going to be a great fight. You know, it's a fight that I think is going to tell us a lot about Errol Spence. If Errol Spence disposes of Lamont Peterson inside of 7 rounds, knocks him out, we're going to say, you know, Errol Spence is for real. Everything that we've been saying for months now is true. This dude's a killer. If for some reason he runs into some problems with a Lamont Peterson and he goes to the scorecards and he looks less than stellar, maybe we pump the brakes a little bit on hyping up Errol Spence. But everything we've seen from him so far is the guy is a stud. If you take a look at those at his fighter profile, 22-0, 19 KOs, got an 86% knockout percentage. His last five fights, he's landed 46% of his power. If you get close to that 50% range, you know you're going to win your fight. And he lands, and he's not just a power puncher, as evidenced by his 7.3 jabs per round. But with this fight coming up here in 2018, it got me thinking about some of the biggest fights you can make in boxing. People always ask me, I'm out, and casual fans, hardcore fans, what's the three biggest fights that you can make right now in boxing? And in my opinion, the three biggest fights that you can make right now is Anthony Joshua versus Deontay Wilder, obviously, for obvious reasons, heavyweight unification bout. Canelo, Triple G 2 in the middleweight division. And in the welterweight division, the welterweight Super Bowl is Keith Thurman versus Errol Spence. Those are the three biggest fights that I think can possibly be made right now. And when you consider all of the contenders in each division, the supporting characters, if you may, it led me to think about which of these divisions, the heavyweights, the middleweights, and the welterweights, which of these three divisions will shine the brightest in 2018. So I went to CompuBox Twitter, and I drew up a little bit of a poll here, and I was really surprised by the results here. 35% of our viewers out there, Inside Boxing Live viewers, believe that the middleweight division will shine brightest in 2018, only by one percentage point over the welterweights. It's a question that I'm going to ask CBS Sports' Brian Campbell when he comes up next, but I think our fans here, with this line of thinking, with the middleweights, is because Triple G and Canelo are arguably in the top three of everyone's pound-for-pound list. So they went with, our fans went with a top-heavy approach, and it's a fight that's most likely going to get made out of the three of those that we just showed on the screen. But you look at the welterweight division, you got Keith Thurman at the top. Obviously, he holds two of the belts. And you got Errol Spence as the IBF champ. You have Danny Garcia, who was reigning supreme for a while. Sean Porter, who is a very good contender and a fighter that's very deserved of some big title shots. And you got Terrence Crawford, looming. 140-pound king. Terrence Crawford, who many consider the best pound-for-pound fighter in the game right now, is in this division. Welterweight division is loaded. And the fight there that we can see in 2018 is obviously Keith Thurman versus Errol Spence. Middleweights, you got Triple G and Canelo. I mean, we don't have to talk about Triple G and Canelo. We know what Triple G and Canelo bring to the table, and it's a fight that's probably the most likely to be made in 2018. But then the supporting characters in the middleweight division, BJ Saunders, stud, WBO middleweight champion, one of the best interviews in the game, one of the best pure boxers in the game, Danny Jacobs. We all saw what Danny Jacobs did against Golovkin, put up a very strong performance, a fighter that we're going to hear a lot from in 2018. Jermall Charlo is a fighter that no one wants to see right now. The Charlo brothers are a movement in boxing, and he's looming at 160, and you got some of the other players at 160 as well. And then you move on to the heavyweights. The heavyweights, obviously, is headlined by Anthony Joshua, who's the king right now. He's the face of boxing after his win over Klitschko. Deontay Wilder is the American champion, if you want to call it that. He's undefeated. We all know about Deontay Wilder. He's fighting Luis Ortiz. You got Joshua, Wilder, Ortiz, Joseph Parker, Dillian White, Tyson Fury. You want to throw Big Baby Jarrell Miller in there as well? You can do that too. So the boxing is in a great position right now for 2018. We're kicking off the year with Errol Spence versus Lamont Peterson. It gets the welterweight picture moving. Hopefully after that, not hopefully, but in March, in the ending out the first quarter here in 2018, we're going to see Anthony Joshua take on Joseph Parker, and we're going to see Wilder take on Ortiz. That will get the heavyweight division moving. Hopefully it gives us everything we want in Joshua Wilder in late 2018. And of course, the middleweight division is right now being held hostage by Oscar De La Hoya and Golden Boy Promotions as they finally tried to make this fight announced, Triple G and Canelo 2. There was WBC tweeted something that the fight's official. You saw a lot of headlines that the fight's official, and then Oscar De La Hoya got on Twitter and said it's not done, but it's very, very close. So the three biggest divisions in boxing, heavyweights, welterweights, and the middleweights, are going to produce some big-time fights in 2018. And we started off this week with Errol Spence and Lamont Peterson, but it's going to be a great show here on Inside Boxing Live. We got Chris Algieri, Brian Campbell. We have comedian Al Foran. We have Twitter haters. You're not going to want to miss these tweets this week. We have some really good tweets. In case you missed it, we'll get you caught up to speed. And some really good stories coming from our good hook of the week. More coming up here on Inside Boxing Live. Here on Inside Boxing Live, our first guest of the show. He holds a distinct award here. He's a three-time guest of Inside Boxing Live. He eclipsed heavyweight champion of the world, Deontay Wilder. He's the one and only CBS, Brian Campbell. Brian, how are you, man?
Oh, I'm doing great. You know, I think I've been on the show in like three different forms, too, like audio, visual. My soul's been all over the show. I'm ready for action. Let's do it.
Here we go. Your award for being on for three times is you get a Bob Canobio's original CompuBox keypad.
Oh, love that. Put me on the joysticks one time, Bobby C, all right? Let me sit ringside here.
He sold us to send your resume.
I'm in line behind seven different Canobio brothers, but that's fine.
That's 100% right. You're 100% right. Now, let's get right into it. In the open of the show, we talked about some of the biggest fights you can make in 2018 and their fights in the welterweight division with Spence and Thurman. We talked about the middleweight division, obviously, Canelo, Triple G, and the heavyweights with Wilder and Joshua. Which division do you think, Brian Campbell, with all that information I just gave you, will shine the brightest in 2018?
Oh, certainly the heavyweights will, from a, you know, come and see me standpoint. And we need that in the sport. We need the heavyweight division to be, you know, the entrance point, the gateway drug to get people back into the sport at a level they deserve. Obviously, the talent level in the heavyweight division isn't comparable to welterweight. It's not comparable to the other great heavyweight eras, but we got hungry guys that can make exciting fights, and man, is there a bunch of deserved buzz right now, and we're going to see two big matchups this spring, and, you know, not just two good matchups, but two good matchups that are going to set the stage for, you know, like this mini tournament and the final that we all want to see of this mini tournament, potentially, in Wilder and Joshua. So that's a division that really you got to get behind right now and really keep hoping. Everybody weighs in on time. No one fails a drug test. No one eats any tainted meat, Dan. Well, you know, that maybe they should get the master boxer Chris Algieri in there as a nutritionist. You know, but I'm just saying, we got to keep this sport moving and get this heavyweight division out in front.
Chris Algieri will be joining Inside Boxing Live later on in the program. Funny you bring that up, but you're right. The heavyweight division, it's alive right now. We have this final four. I'll ask you about a fight that came out of this weekend. Two fights that came out announced this weekend. We'll start with Anthony Joshua and Joseph Parker. A lot of people will tell you right away, Joseph Parker, durable, good chin, going to give Joshua a really good test. How do you see this one playing out?
It's interesting. I'd certainly favor Joshua, but at the same time, the best part about this division is that we don't really know who's for real. We don't know if anyone's for real. And I think Joshua is at the head of that class. You know, we saw him get up off the deck against Klitschko, and he showed vulnerability just as much as he showed courage. And I think that this is the right fight for him right now. You want to see titles unified. You want to see two unbeaten guys with glossy records get in there and essentially slug it out. I think Joshua has more skills than Parker, and I think Parker doesn't always show you an ambition in the ring to be as great as he could be, but you'd hope in this fight he'll bring that out. And I certainly think he can be trouble for Joshua until Joshua figures out, you know, does he have the chin and the stamina needed to reign this division for 5-10 years? We don't know yet. We're going to find that out. It's going to be fun finding.
Yeah, it's going to be on March 31st. Another fight in March in the heavyweight division is Deontay Wilder. Luis Ortiz is going to try this once again. Is this a fight you feel that the public is still very much behind?
Yes and no. I think they could be behind it once we get closer, and I think certainly when they watch it. I have a feeling, Dan, that this could be the real sleeper fight. This is going to be a knockout win for one of the two, and this fight may end up doing a lot to bang the drum for whoever, you know, for the winner to maybe face the winner of Joshua Parker and to really push the division forward. I think it's obviously tainted and stained a bit by us having to debate whether Ortiz should be in this spot. I mean, it's a legitimate debate. The WBC may have said, you know, we've washed our hands of it. You're innocent to us. You know, it comes down to ultimately Ortiz not disclosing on the, you know, on the paperwork, what medication he was taking. The whole thing's a little bit sketchy. Have we seen sketchier in boxing, Dan? For sure. Would I rather have this fight than not have it? Absolutely. So I guess I have to choose that latter and just realize that, heck yeah, this is a good fight. I don't really know who's going to come out on top, and I love that, right? Like, those great versions we've seen of Luis Ortiz, is that a mirage? I mean, Deontay Wilder, when a real puncher backs him up and puts the fist to the chin, can he hold his ground? Again, these are things we don't know. That's why the heavyweight division is so fun.
How old is Luis Ortiz?
Well, you know, they say he's 38, but I guess you never really know, Dan.
I know. I mean, that's like the one mystery. The guy has got a lot of mystery about him. He didn't show up to the press conference I was at in New York City. He just talked on the phone. You know, we don't know. We don't know anything about Luis Ortiz, but we do know he's got 24 knockouts in 28 fights. I agree with you that this fight probably won't go the distance. And we have to give a little credit here to Deontay Wilder. He didn't have to take this fight. He could have taken a lesser opponent, but he wants to set up that Joshua fight. And he knows the best way to shut up the critics is to go in there with a guy who can easily take him out.
I agree. That's the underrated thing about Wilder that nobody's talking about, that he was willing to go to Russia to fight Povetkin, that he was willing to do anything to change the narrative, which is, hey, don't look now, but Wilder's creeping into like Floyd Mayweather 49-50-0 territory before ever actually facing somebody, and he doesn't want to get there without doing so. So credit to him for almost being his own biggest critic and saying, I don't care about the drug tests. I don't care about the controversy. You show up on this night, you pass your test, I'm going to fight you. I'm going to prove how good I am. I want to be great. You have to love that. Like, I don't want to get too hyperbolic, Dan, but really, if we want to get this sport an infusion of health, obviously we know the heavyweight division can get us there, but we have the right players in place. These are guys who are big, strong, athletic, and they want to challenge themselves against each other. That's the best thing we can ask for after a decade worth of sitting there and seeing all these talented welterweights, which was boxing's de facto money division, and seeing so many of them unwilling to face each other because of stupid politics. I feel like we're getting away from that finally, and certainly in the heavyweights there's less politics to get in the way, but it just feels really good to get back into making this feel like it's a real sport again.
No, you're right, and over the weekend I was with some friends, and they're not the biggest boxing fans, but you know, they asked me about Wilder Joshua, so that says everything. A fight we want to see in 2018. A fight we will see to kick off 2018 this weekend here at the Barclays Center is Errol Spence, Lamont Peterson. Give us your recap. What do you think about Errol Spence? He's a guy that I'm really high on, and how do you think this fight's going to play out?
Yeah, I'm right with you. I've been, you know, ahead of the game on Errol Spence and saying that, like, I don't care if he's only got, you know, X amount of fights. I think he might be a top pound for pound, top five guy right now. You know, I've been saying that the last few fights. Certainly he needs, a couple more big wins to do more than just what he did in that breakthrough Kell Brook win last year. The problem is we never saw him again. We never saw him have a second fight in 2017 where he was able to build on that. But I think this is the right comeback fight, wherein this is almost a unification bout. You know, Lamont Peterson had to give up his own WBA welterweight title just to get this fight. So, other more talented welterweights who on paper you could give a better case to than Peterson, certainly. But he's a veteran. He's a guy who can fight a couple different styles. He's always tricky. So I do like what this fight represents to us. So, you know, honestly, all of us are going to pick Spence to win. But it does represent a guy who's savvy enough that he can give him a challenge. Now, the real problem is that Peterson, in the end, just doesn't have the punching power to say, well, if he's having an off night, he still may be able to win that. He's almost got to be perfect. He's got to have the best performance of his entire career to hope that this goes the distance and he can just out-veteran Spence. It's unlikely, I would say, on paper, but at the same time, very credible opponent for your first major televised bout of 2018 with a chance to showcase a guy who could be next, who could be in that conversation with Lomachenko and Crawford as, you know, the guy, the man in the sport. You could do worse than this. I'm excited to see how Spence responds after this type of layoff.
Yeah, you're right. It's a fight that we're going to learn a lot about Errol Spence. If he takes out Lamont Peterson inside 6-7 rounds, we're going to say this guy's a killer. If he goes 12 and he, like, you know, ekes out a decision, you know, we're going to say we have to pump the brakes a little bit on Errol Spence, but those are the type of fights you love, especially from guys that are on the rise, sort of say. One more fight I want to ask you about. We talked about the three weight classes that I think will shine brightest in 2018. That's the middleweight division. Eric Gomez of Golden Boy says that the fight, the negotiations are 98% done. What do you think is the 2% that is holding up this rematch from being made?
Just a couple extra bucks. Like when you come off a draw, you have both guys being able to say, you have Canelo being able to say, A, you didn't beat me, and B, I'm the bigger star, so I'm going to get the bigger cut of the pie once again. And certainly if you're Team Golovkin, you can say, well, everyone knows we beat you. You just happened to get the draw. We deserve much more money this time around. I think there were concessions made for Team Golovkin the first time around just to get this fight out there, right? Just right. To finally get Gennady into this situation. I don't have fear that it will happen. It seems Gomez jumped the gun a bit in putting out there that said, our side of the deal is done, maybe to put pressure on Team Golovkin. It is relatively late in the game, right?
Yeah.
Inching closer to late January when this fight is May 5th, but not too late in the game. We've certainly seen Floyd sign big money fights later in the game than this. I don't have a lot of fear, Dan, that this is going to fall apart. This is the best fight for each of them. The fact that we're this far in the negotiations, I think we're going to get to the finish line. If we weren't this far, then maybe I could give you a couple conspiracy theories on where Oscar might be going, but I'm looking forward to this.
I'm looking forward to myself, of course. One of the biggest fights you can make in boxing, and I threw this out on Twitter. Maybe they're one of these last 2 points that they're trying to come up with is getting the fight out of Las Vegas. Do you think that this fight can end up in Houston, Texas, or at Jerry World in Dallas in a stadium setting? Or do you think, as most likely the case, is going to end up in Vegas?
I hope it doesn't end up in Vegas. It most likely always seems to be the case for Vegas because of the guaranteed money the promoters can get. It takes off a lot of that pressure. The ticket prices can be jacked up, all that good stuff. But this is a Super Bowl fight, Dan, not just for the critical importance of the sport, but obviously crossover-wise. The fight delivered on pay-per-view last year, where pay-per-view fights almost never deliver that type of action and intensity to the once-a-year crossover fan. So do I want the rematch to be a Cowboys Stadium, Jerry World, ATT, whatever you call it? Of course I do. This fight belongs there. You know what fight didn't belong there, by the way? Pacquiao versus Clady. You know what other fight did not belong there?
Yeah.
Canelo versus Liam Smith. We all remember that night, right?
Mm-hmm.
This fight belongs there. Let's not do it in Vegas. Of course, I'd love it at Madison Square Garden, which was also in the running, but obviously they would have to offer the kind of money that would be astronomical to even make that arena a reality for this. Put it in there, fill up the dome, make this big Super Bowl event feel like a Super Bowl because, This is it. This is a marquee division at middleweight. Pound for pound credibility at stake. Biggest star of the sport at stake. This is everything you want. Let's not stuff it in another casino.
Oh, 100% in agreement with you there. I can tell how excited you are to start off the 2018 boxing schedule, but it's got a pale in comparison to how excited you must be for WWE 25th anniversary Monday Night Raw.
Oh, come on. Now you're talking about my wheelhouse. This is right my fielhouse right here, Dan. I'm fired up for this. We're getting all the legends back. We're going to get Undertaker out of off ice. Come on. You going to go? You're in New York City. Are you going to be there?
I just sent out, I had my personal assistant, Bob Canobio. He sent out some text messages to some very important people at the Barclays Center. I got to go. I want to mark out. Isn't that the proper word?
Well, if you want to, yes, that is the proper word. But if you really want to mark out, I think you want to be in the Manhattan Center that night because they're doing two venues at once. And it leads you to believe one venue will have the new class at the Barclays, but it's at the Manhattan Center, the site of the first episode of Raw,
right.
25 years ago, that I think you'll find all the old-timers. That's where you got to be, Dan.
I want to be there. I was a huge WWE fan growing up. I wasn't always allowed to watch because of the Attitude Era. It was a little risque material on the USA Network, but now it's like my nephew's watching, so I got to be there. I know you're going to be there, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I'm not actually going to be there, but because of the double, the double venues, I cover this for a living.
Oh, true.
I'm able to see what's happening at both venues at the same time, so I'll be from afar. But you got to love Uncle Bob Canobio saying to you, essentially, let's not watch this fake action and violence, but let's watch real action and violence.
Yeah, that's how we do.
That's parenting. That's parenting right there.
Yeah, actually my mom was the one who did not allow me to watch Monday Night Raw.
Well, back then she was well-served, all right? Now it's a PG era. We all can get involved.
Yeah, when Val Venus came out, I think that was it. I think that was when the channel had to be turned.
There's one thing to have garbage men characters, but once you have an adult star, yeah, that changes the game a little bit.
All right, Brian Campbell, enjoy covering boxing, wrestling, MMA, doing everything you do. Congratulations on being the first three-time guest appearance on Inside Boxing Live. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, and when you talk to my good friend Chris Algieri, make sure you bring up avocados. That guy is part of the next generation of fitness and healthy living. I got to give him a shout out.
Master boxer, master chef, championship lifestyle, the guy's the best.
Believe it. Great talking to you.
All right, Brian, thanks a lot, man. Brian Campbell, always a hoot. One of the best guys in boxing. He delivers his insights on, he thinks it's the heavyweight division that's going to reign supreme in 2018. And it's the biggest fight that can be made is Joshua Wilder. So I have to agree with him there. He's amped up for Spence Peterson. I think that I agree with him there that it's going to be a fight that we're going to learn a lot about Errol Spence. And of course, WWE Monday Night Raw. If you don't follow Brian Campbell on Twitter at BC Campbell, is it BC Campbell at CBS or whatever his Twitter is, on a Monday night you will be flooded with wrestling tweets, and he covers it all with a lot of enthusiasm. That's why we love him here on Inside Boxing Live. Special thanks to Brian Campbell. Boxing has been on a little bit of a hiatus over the last 4 weeks, but that didn't stop a lot of news and notes from happening, so we rounded them all up for this week's segment, in case you missed it. Our first piece of information comes from Golden Boy's Eric Gomez, who says that the Triple G Canelo negotiations are 98% done. We just talked to Brian Campbell here on Inside Boxing Live, and he guessed that the final 2% is money-related, as we all could guess. Eric Gomez and Golden Boy said that it was Canelo that agreed to his side. So they're kind of putting the pressure on Gennady Golovkin, and everything we saw from their first negotiations is that Canelo tried to take the lion's share of the money, rightfully so. At the time, he was the bigger star. A lot of concessions that Triple G had to give up in this fight. So it's kind of a shrewd business move by Oscar De La Hoya and Eric Gomez, saying that, you know, Canelo has signed his side, but the fans aren't dumb. Boxing fans are very smart. They know that that this fight is going to be negotiated very closely by Tom Loeffler and Triple G. A lot of people thought that Triple G won the fight, me included. I think that Triple G has a lot more to bring to the negotiating table this time around. But Eric Gomez says, Triple G Canelo, 98% finalized. It's a fight that I would like to see somewhere other than Las Vegas, as me and Brian Campbell spoke about. Put it in Jerry World. Put it in Madison Square Garden. Put it in Houston, Texas. Just, you know, put this outside. 70,000 fans. Price it the right way. Do a service to the boxing fans. Moving on here, and in case you missed it, Amir Khan signs a 3-fight deal with Matchroom Boxing. This was kind of a shocker when I saw this news. Of course, Amir Khan and Eddie Hearn don't exactly see eye to eye, or didn't see eye to eye, I should say, over the years. But they came together, and it's a deal that really makes sense for both parties. Amir Khan wants to fight more in the UK. He coming off of his appearance on a reality-based show over in England that really turned him into a star, more of a household name. So it's kind of a smart move from Amir Khan. The last time we saw Amir Khan, he was laying flat on his back from a KO from Canelo Alvarez. I'm a big fan of Amir Khan's fights. Is he the most skilled fighter? No, but he's always in good fights. So what this deal does is it sets up the showdown with Brook that has been marinating for years now, Kell Brook, at 154. And Eddie Hearn actually said today that, you know, all the obstacles are out of the way. You know, Khan and Brook should be happening, hopefully late 2018, and we get that fight. And one thing from Amir Khan, as he made the rounds talking about this deal, is he doesn't want any tune-up fights. He's going to be fighting in April. We'll see who they put in front of him there, but he wants the big names. He's named nearly every welterweight in the division. There was a rumor about finding Broner. That would be at 140, so I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, he called out Pacquiao. He called out, obviously, Kell Brook, Keith Thurman, Danny Garcia, Errol Spence. You name them. You know, Amir Khan's in that stage of his career where he wants the big names. Moving on here, in case you missed it, Tyson Fury. It wouldn't be a show if we didn't name the big heavyweight. He says he'll be back in the ring in April. He has circled April on the calendar for his grand reemergence back into the heavyweight scene. And I think he'll be working with Frank Warren. I'm not sure if it's a multi-fight deal, but Frank Warren and him have come to work together. He had a big issue with the boxing license, Tyson Fury. He got that out of the way. He cleared that hurdle. He's got to lose some more weight. He's clearing those hurdles every day. We spoke with his good friend, BJ Saunders, on our last episode of Inside Boxing Live, and BJ Saunders said, this is for real. This is a real comeback. You know, he sees them every day. They're working out at the MTK Global Performance Center, and they're putting in the work. Tyson Fury putting in the work, so we can expect to see the big man, Tyson Fury. And I just read an article before we started this segment that if he doesn't fight soon, The Ring magazine is going to strip him of the title, a title he's held, apparently, since his fight with Klitschko, which was years ago. So I'm expecting to see Tyson Fury, and I'm rooting for him. And we're going to get Tyson Fury on Inside Boxing Live in the very near future. Next piece of information here is Jeff Horn. In case you missed this, Jeff Horn has agreed to his terms to fight Terrence Crawford April 21st. Most likely going to be on ESPN, and it's most likely to be coming from Las Vegas. There was a lot of speculation on if Jeff Horn was going to take this fight, if he was going to fight Anthony Mundine, which would be a huge fight in Australia. Mundine took another fight, so we can scratch that off the board. So his leverage is kind of gone there. And so Bob Arum, I knew he flew out to Atlanta to meet with Terrence Crawford the weekend of the national championship game. Terrence Crawford was on the sidelines there. So, you know, they're hammering this deal out. I think they're going to come up with a deal. It's a no-brainer in my eyes, and it's a great fight for both fighters for a number of reasons. Terrence Crawford, his first fight at 147, going up against a fighter that a lot of people know because of that win, quote-unquote win, over Pacquiao. So I think this is a no-brainer of a fight. April 21st, a great date in the boxing calendar. There's no college football. There's no NFL. March Madness is over. Baseball just starting. So I think that April 21st, should Terrence Crawford move up to 147 pounds and fight Jeff Horn, who agreed to it, I think it would be a ratings bonanza. And I also think it would be a very good fight between two tall, rangy welterweights. Moving forward here, Adonis Stevenson. Remember him? In case you missed it, Adonis Stevenson is a professional boxer. And he has been holding that 175-pound title hostage over the years. But according to the WBC, he has been ordered to fight Badu Jack, and their matchup is rumored to be for March. This is a fight that's gone, not to the courts, but to the officials now. It's in the officials' hands at the WBC. They have to hammer out a deal with their promoters. But, you know, on paper, this is a great fight. Adonis Stevenson, as we know, hasn't been fighting the best quality opponents. But Badu Jack is a guy that's in his mid-30s or early 30s. Wants to get his career moving. Came off of a very, very good performance on the Mayweather-McGregor undercard when he disposed of Nathan Cleverly. I thought he had one of the performances of the night. So I would love to see Badu Jack versus Adonis Stevenson. Hopefully the winner of that can go up against some of these other 175-pound monsters over on HBO that have been fighting. Dmitry Bivol, of course, and Sergey Kovalev, Sylvain Pereira. Go down the list. Finally here, in case you missed it, or the last bit of information here comes from the rumor mill. These are some fights that I've been seeing on Twitter. I've been talking to people that I've talked to in the industry. Jarrett Hurd versus Arislandi Lara, 154-pounders. Love it. I think that would be an outstanding fight. The Charlo brother, not too happy. Maybe he wants a shot at Lara, but I think that he's waiting in the wings for the winner of that one. Last time we saw Jarrett Hurd, he was fighting at the Barclays Center. A very tough fight with Austin Trout. Last time we saw Arislandi Lara, a lot of people were leaving the Barclays Center during his fight. That fight was hideous, but I've always said you put a good puncher and an action fighter like Jarrett Hurd in the ring with a slick boxer like Lara, like just like Angulo and Lara fought, you're going to get an exciting fight. So don't think that that one's going to be a sleeper. Another fight, rumored, Danny Jacobs is fighting in April at the Barclays Center. His opponent is to be announced. It's probably not going to be Billy Joe Saunders. It's not going to be Golovkin or Canelo. A fighter that has been brought up is the O'Sullivan guy with the push broom mustache. We saw him on the, he was fighting on, he fights with Golden Boy, and that's a great fight. I mean, that's, that is, it's the, maybe the second or third best option for Danny Jacobs. He's not going to get those big names, but you throw in this O'Sullivan character who looks like a guy that I see walking around Williamsburg, Brooklyn. He's got the push broom mustache. He's got the, you know, the suits to go along with it. Put that fight at Barclays Center, very close to Brooklyn. You market O'Sullivan to the Brooklyn crowd. I think it could be a hit. And finally, in the heavyweight division, Jarrell Miller is rumored to go up against Kubrat Pulev, who is a very good contender in the heavyweight division, ranked number two in the IBF rankings. Jarrell Miller coming off of a little disappointing performance against Walk. Still haven't figured out how to say that one. But Jarrell Miller rumored to fight Kubrat Pulev, and I'm all over the place with these names. But I want to see Jarrell Miller back in the ring. I want to see him improving because I do think that he'll be a player in the heavyweight division. A lot of news and notes in the world of boxing. Of course, we keep you up to speed here. This has been In Case You Missed It. Our next guest on Inside Boxing Live, very excited for this one. I went on YouTube and I was searching some impressions. I always love a good impression. And up came Al Foran. Check him out on Twitter at Impressionist Al. Al, thank you for joining us here on Inside Boxing Live.
No problem. Great to join you, Dan.
Calling all the way in from Ireland. How's the weather over there, my man?
Oh, shocking. Absolutely terrible. Rain every day.
Oh, it's brutal. Like I said, I was searching you out on YouTube, and one of the first videos that popped up was you on stage with Floyd Mayweather. It looked like a very impromptu a meeting there. How did that go down for you?
Yeah, it was. It was actually, it was last March, about 4 or 5 months before the Mayweather-McGregor fight. And obviously, you know, the promoter of that show wanted me to go up on stage at the end of it with Floyd. And I'd be doing Conor McGregor impersonations and Mike Tyson. So he wanted me to go up as Conor McGregor. So I kind of, as soon as I started speaking like McGregor, his head kind of popped up thinking, oh shit, is Conor McGregor actually here? And then for a split second, he just saw a pudgy Irish lad walking up to the stage.
It was amazing, because you saw a woman wave you on, and then you just went in, and it was, and Floyd was loving it.
He was, and that was the great thing about it. He was loving it. I enjoyed doing the Tyson impression for him, the Mike Tyson one. I think he enjoyed that very much.
Now, when did you first start getting into impressions? Was it something that you felt like was something that you were really good at? When did you start getting into impressions?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I started getting into it when I was a young kid. I'd be impersonating like family members at parties and weddings and stuff like that. And I kind of, from there on, I watched a lot of movies, a lot of films. So I would do impressions of Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci and Al Pacino, and then that kind of the repertoire grew into soccer in England as well. I do a lot of personalities from the soccer world in the UK. You know,
what's the easiest one for you to do?
Oh, probably Robert De Niro. Oh, but it's very much a facial.
Well, let's give us some De Niro, man.
Well, I got to tell you, we're talking about Donald Trump here. I think he's an idiot. I think he's an ass. If I ever see him, I'm going to punch him right in the face.
He's a mutt.
Punch him right in the face. Right square in the face. I'm telling you, I'm going to do it. If I see him, I don't care if I get deported.
See, I thought your easiest would be McGregor, because you're from Ireland, your McGregor is amazing.
Well, McGregor lives down the road. Well, not really down the road. He lives about, I'd say, 20 minutes away from where I am. He lives in a place called the Crumlin. So, well, McGregor is very much like that. I mean, he speaks how he speaks. He does what he does. And he makes a lot of money out of doing what he does. So, that's it. When you're the face of MMA, you can do whatever you want. Can we swear on this broadcast, or is it?
Yeah, let him fly, man.
Ah, hey, I don't give a fuck. I mean, I will do whatever I want. That's it. Dana can give me a shout. I mean, but if I'm coming back to the UFC, I'm getting a split of take on that event. I'm not getting a measly little 5 million again. It'll be 70 million and profits, yeah. Loads of profits on that.
The laugh is everything. Now, Connor, I don't know if you knew this, but us at CompuBox, we're ringside counting the punches. You landed 111 punches on Floyd Mayweather. That's more than Manny Pacquiao. It's more than Shane Mosley. It's more than a lot of great fighters. Did you agree with the punch stats, Connor?
It was great. I consider them booms. You know what I mean? I don't care about their history. I don't care about what they did in the boxing ring. No disrespect to them, but I landed more punches on Floyd, so I feel if me and Floyd were to do it again, I feel I would come out the victor in that. I do. You can laugh all you want. You know, I improve on every area. I'd like to see his little bitch ass go into the octagon.
I don't
yapping about this and that. Why doesn't he come over to my world? I'll show him what it's all about.
Oh my God, it's getting for a second I really thought I was talking to Conor McGregor. Now, you did that for Conor, right?
Yeah, I did. And do you know what he said to me? He goes, I absolutely hate it. I don't like that impression one bit. But then he said, but the other ones are very good. I like the other impressions.
I think he liked Mike Tyson, and you know, you got to give us a Tyson. I know he's one of the, like, I feel like every comedian that does impressions has a Mike Tyson. We had Tracy Morgan on this show. He did a very excellent one. So Mike Tyson walks in to a bar and he sees Conor McGregor in there. What do you think he's going to say to him?
I mean, you know, if I'm walking into that bar and I see Conor McGregor sitting there at the bar and he said something rude to me there, of course, I'm going to knock his motherfucking lights out. But, you know, if he's nice and if he's friendly like everyone else is with me, we'll have a conversation about boxing, we'll have a conversation about mixed martial arts, we'll have a great conversation. But, you know, if he starts saying all this shit to me about, you know, this and that, you're past it, you're finished, motherfucker, I don't care, man. I'll hit him with my strong right. That's what I'll do. I don't give a shit.
Who do you think Trump, Donald Trump, here in the States, he makes headlines here in America. Who do you think Donald Trump's favorite fighter is today?
Well, you know what? I will give you my favorite fighter today. There's a lot of great fighters. There really is. I'm a big fan of Floyd Mayweather. I'm a big fan. Now, Floyd is obviously retired. I'm a big fan of that Crawford guy. He is fantastic. Crawford really is a great, great fighter. He's got great skin. Really, if I wasn't president and I was promoting all of the big boxing events, I would have Crawford as the main bill. Because that guy is truly tremendous, a really great fighter.
And Crawford's from Nebraska, home of Warren Buffett, fellow billionaire. I would like to see you and Warren Buffett square off one time.
Well, that would be great. That would be great. But you know what? Warren Buffett would beat me in a billionaire off. I have about $4 billion. Warren has about $64 billion. So he's got a lot more money than I do. And I would never, ever say something like that because I always think that I'm the best billionaire, the richest billionaire. But Warren, you don't mess with Warren Buffett. You don't mess with that guy.
Now, Donald, are you going to throw in the towel on your presidency?
I'm not going to throw in the towel. You know, what a stupid question to ask me. You know, this is the typical fake news. They ask me these ridiculous questions. What are you going to do? Are you going to quit it? I'm not going to quit it. There are people that want to bring me down. They want to bring me right down, and I'm doing a great job. The stock markets are on the rise. It's fantastic. They're at an all-time high. We are making America great again. We're doing it. We're doing a great job. So people need to shut up.
Al. Now we'll go back to Al. Al, that was amazing. These are phenomenal. When you first started doing these impressions, what's the one that, like, kind of really got you on the map and it figured out that, you know, I can kind of, like, make a career out of this?
I suppose it definitely was Conor. The Conor impression really did set the wheels in motion, you know? gig maybe 7 years ago when I was, I'm 26 now, when I was 18 years old, I did it in my local kind of, my local town, and it was in front of 150 people, and I always thought, you know, well, hopefully I'll get somewhere with this, you know, but it did take time, took a couple of years, and now it's kind of, you know, it's I'm happy to call it, it's a full-time job now. I gig, I make videos, you know, for money, which is great. You know, it's great to have it as a job, you know?
That's awesome. Check him out on Twitter, at Impressionist Al. For our listeners over there in the beautiful country of Ireland, March 23rd, he'll be in Belfast. March 30th, he has another show March 31st in Limerick, and he opens it up, or closes it out, I should say, April 14th in Dublin. I checked out a lot of your videos. I went down a very long pigeonhole of your impressions, and I saw you had a video with Eddie Hearn, and who's actually pretty decent at impressions, yeah. Eddie Hearn.
He's a brilliant impressionist, a great promoter, too. we had an impression duel, and Eddie does a great Chris Eubank impression. I also do a decent one too. I don't think it's as good as Eddie's, but we were kind of speaking like Chris Eubank for the duration of the video. So we were very much speaking like this, talking about the specifics of boxing and how beneficial it is to the mind, and that was particular conversation that I had with Eddie Hearn. He is an incredible individual, absolutely.
Eddie, can you do an Eddie Hearn? I feel like the British accent is something that a lot of Americans struggle with.
I can. Well, you know, Eddie's a real geezer like that. He just speaks like that normally. You know, Eddie's a lovely chap. He really is. He's first time meeting him now. He was all game for it. Like, no problem at all. Let's do this.
Yeah, he's come on the show before. I met him a bunch of times. Very charismatic guy, very charming fella. He feel like he should not belong in boxing. Like, he should be out, maybe doing like real estate or something.
Yeah, absolutely. But you see, I mean, he's promoting Katie Taylor now, and she's our pride of boxing at the moment, Katie Taylor. You know, so hopefully she's. I think she has a homecoming fight soon. Soon enough in Ireland, which will be huge.
We're talking now with Al Foran, unbelievable comedian and impersonator. Actually grew up very close to Conor McGregor. When did, like, people start talking about Conor McGregor? Obviously, when he got to the UFC, he was a star. But was there a lot of rumblings about him during his amateur career and early on in his career?
Yeah, there was. When he was fighting for Cage Warriors, he won the lightweight belt in, I think it was the first of January 2013, and he was the featherweight champion too, I believe, and he became a two-weight world champion in the Cage Warriors.
Wow.
And there was a lot of rumblings. I mean, Dana White was in Dublin for a while. There was a lot of rumours that people thought Dana White is going to sign this Conor McGregor guy to the UFC. And then it was announced, I think, in April or March that he signed. And he obviously went on, he was on Ariel Helwani's show. And it was, you know, he really did, in terms of how he became big in Ireland, I think the launch pad for him really was the UFC Dublin show in 2014 when he knocked out Diego Brando. That was the big show for him, you know.
Right, and I mean, today he's a hero in Ireland, and he's certainly made some waves here in the States. Yeah. I got one for you. Mark Wahlberg walks into the Warner Brothers studio, and he pitches the fighter to the executives.
All right, you got to walk in there. I'm going to walk right into the studio. We're going to talk about this movie, Mickey Ward. What a really good boxer, okay? You got to have Christian Bale. Christian Bale for the role of Dickie Eklund. He's a great fucking actor. You gotta do this. This is a movie that's gotta happen, okay? I'm a Bostonian. Mickey Ward's from Massachusetts, near enough to Boston, okay? You gotta do this fucking movie. Do it, Warner Brothers, all right? Fucking do it.
He just forces them into making the movie. That's what Wahlberg does.
That's what I do, all right? I'm box office, I'm the whole motherfucking chick. That's what I am.
And I saw that you did your impression for Wahlberg, and he seemed to be loving it too.
Yeah, he did. did actually, yeah. That was my girlfriend was screaming across the way to him, and he came over and got his phone out and started filming me. But I don't think he put it on any of his social media.
It must be a thrill for you when you get to do these impressions for the actual people, right?
Oh, it's great, yeah. It really is.
Wow. What a career you've etched out for yourself. Al Foran, before we let you go, Conor McGregor, usually we have our guests like give like a sign off, like, this is Conor McGregor and you've been watching Inside Boxing Live.
Before we go, you ain't speak to Floyd Mayweather yet.
Oh, Floyd. Are you going to get in the ring with McGregor again?
Man, if you want to do it again, we do it again. We're going to get the right numbers. We're going to do what we got to do. Team up with Arena, we're going to do it. McGregor v. Mayweather, number two. Let's do that, motherfucker.
Unbelievable. I mean, you had to jump in with Floyd because he just wasn't being brought up. There was too much McGregor in this interview.
There's too much McGregor in this interview, that's it.
Not enough McGregor. Amazing stuff. My man, Al Foran, thank you so much for joining us here on Inside Boxing Live. I look forward to maybe meeting you one day in the States. Do you plan on traveling here, coming to some big fights?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was at the Mayweather-McGregor fight last August. It was a brilliant experience. Yeah, I'd love to get over to another boxing event. I was at UFC 205 last year as well.
Wow. Was that your first time in Vegas?
My first time in Vegas, yeah. Crazy town. Absolutely nuts.
Yeah, I was there for that fight too, and your countrymen were there in full effect.
Oh my God, it was amazing, wasn't it?
It was special, man. It was really a special time. I liked the fight, and a lot of people had their mixed emotions on it, but I thought it was a great thing, and you know, it helped out a lot of people, and you got your Conor impression, and your comedy career is taking off. Thank you very much, Al, for joining us in Inside Boxing Live, and I hope to run into you ringside, man.
Thank you, Dan. Gentlemen.
All right, take care. Al Foran. Awesome. That was amazing. It was, like, a lot better than I expected. The guy can really bring it with the impressions. Obviously, the McGregor one is just phenomenal. I actually thought I was talking to Conor McGregor for a while. We could have, like, just played that off if it was McGregor and put it on YouTube. I mean, that's how good he was at the McGregor one. He said McGregor lives about 20 minutes from him, was a star for a very long time in Ireland. But you got to love these impressions here. Inside Boxing Live, the Wahlbergs, the Niros, the Trump was phenomenal. You got to check him out on Instagram, on all social media, Impressionist Al Foran, here on Inside Boxing Live. When I log on to Twitter.com, I want to see fighters talking smack. I want to see Tyson Fury doing a kissy face. Most importantly, I want to be entertained. And it was a very good week for tweets. So we rounded them all up in a segment that we call Twitter Hitters. Our first tweet comes from Floyd Money Mayweather. Apparently, Floyd is a little late to the party. He decided to take a screen grab of a headline that was from about 3 months ago when Conor McGregor allegedly punched a member of the Irish cartel. There was a rumor that he had like a bounty on his head. Of course, Floyd, 3 months late to the party. He quote tweets him and writes, "I already effed you up in 2017. Now they, the cartel, are about to eff you up in 2018. You're about to start your new year off with a bang." Emojis, coffin emojis, bomb emojis, hammer, axe, knife. I mean, anytime Floyd Mayweather does anything on social media, it is calculated. It's a very calculated move by Floyd Mayweather. And I know that we have Conor McGregor's response. I know we waited for this. I am the cartel. Very clever from Conor McGregor. Like I said, we all know what Floyd Mayweather when he does something on social media is that it's calculated. If you go to his Instagram, it's like 40 Instagram posts of his strip club. He spams your timeline with his strip club. He posts something about Conor McGregor. It's not on an accident. It's because, you know, maybe they want to fight again. He's testing the public. He's seeing how we respond. Then he has his guy go in there and read him. I know that Mayweather does not handle his own Twitter. I was in the locker room with Floyd Mayweather after his fight with Miguel Cotto, and I went up to Floyd and I said, "Yo, how come you never retweet me, man?" And he goes, "Well, I don't handle my tweets." And there was a guy in the corner on a table. He had like 10 phones, and he was like working all of them. So it's like a business move when Floyd on social media. But we move on here with Twitter hitters. Conor McGregor talking smack, and he's talking it to the Showtime. Head of sports there at Showtime, Steven Espinoza. This was a very interesting tweet from Conor McGregor. There it is. I think Espinoza was talking about there was a little beef between the UFC and Showtime where Dana White claims that Showtime undersold or didn't put out the full amount of pay-per-view numbers, and it's got to be the first time ever that a network put out a lower number rather than a bigger number. So Espinoza's probably went on Twitter to kind of, you know, clear the air. Sounds like Dana White is upset because we committed the cardinal sin of telling the truth when we released the accurate number for North American pay-per-view buys. I think it was like 4.4. Dana White was claiming 6.4. That's when McGregor got wind of it, and he said, "Shut your weasel mouth." I wish I can do the impression. "But shut your weasel mouth. Who gives an F about North American numbers when we are the global kings, you schmuck?" We're the worldwide number one, and if you were living under a rock during the McGregor-Mayweather press conferences, is that Steven Espinoza became a very focal point of it. McGregor claimed that his mic was shut off during the first leg of the tour, and he blamed Showtime, he blamed Espinoza, called him a weasel, and I think Espinoza handled it great. I mean, he kind of, you know, played into it, and he realized that he was now part of the promotion. It's all for business. I mean, he's not getting offended by anything Conor McGregor says, but it's always fun to see McGregor go off on Mad Online, Twitter.com. Wouldn't be a Twitter hitter segment without the big man, Tyson Fury. And I wanted to put this one up for a number of reasons. I think it's hilarious that Tyson Fury thinks that's how you spell two of the most legendary boxers' names. But I keep saying I want to fight Anthony Joshua in my first fight back. Ray Lennard, L-E-N-N-A-R-D, had one fight in 5 years. Then it came back and beat Marvin Haglar, H-A-G-L-A-R. So it can be done. Hilarious tweet from Tyson Fury. He wants Anthony Joshua. He's not going to get him in his first fight back, obviously, because Anthony Joshua is fighting Joseph Parker. Expect to see Tyson Fury back in the ring April 21st. Expect to see more fire tweets from the big man as we get closer and closer to the return of the Gypsy King. Moving along here is we got a tweet from the Charlo brothers. Jermell Charlo, at Twin Charlo, one of the better follows on Twitter. He woke up with a plan on January 5th at 5:57 a.m. and said, since Hurd and Lara are beefed up, Jared Hurd and Arizona Lara are scheduled or rumored to fight. He said, let them fight, and the winner gets me after I destroy a 147-pounder who got a blessing from Cotto. And he's referring to Saddam Ali. Only one champion, who you got winning. So Jermell Charlo wants to fight Saddam Ali, and then the winner of that goes on to face the winner of Hurd versus Lara. That's a good fight. That's a little tournament. Politics might get in the way, as we know. Charlo, Hurd, Lara, all fight on Showtime. You got Saddam Ali, fights on Golden Boy, which is on HBO. So maybe someone replied and told him that the politics of boxing will prevent that. But maybe 2018, you will see a cooling of that, and we'll see more good fights, especially in a very loaded 154-pound division. Our next tweet doesn't come from a fighter. It comes from a media member. Brandon Stubbs is a very interesting follow on Twitter. He says, what is the most annoying phrase in boxing and MMA today? His is easy. Whenever anyone says, for the right money, I'll fight blank. And there's so many cliches in boxing. There's so many cliches in every sport. You know, Jason Jiang comes to mind. He was the most cliche. He he gives the most cliche answers. That 25 guys coming together as one. We're going to go out there and give it our all that. In boxing, there's many of them. So I checked the replies to Brendan Stubbs' tweet, and these are some of the ones, the better ones, is the most overused phrases in boxing today. Styles make fights. You hear that one all the time, and it usually covers up bad matchmaking. You don't play boxing. That's one of Floyd Mayweather's favorite ones. Hard work, dedication, if you want to go Floyd Mayweather. Floyd has a, like 20 years worth of them. A draw is like kissing your sister. That's one I actually do like, because I don't like kissing my sister. I'm talking about after Canelo Triple G, I was just like so like, ugh. I just felt like this. I got nothing after that. No feeling after it. I assume that's what it's like when you kiss your sister. I'm in the best shape of my life. Best shape of my life. We're getting closer to spring training and baseball. That's something you hear from every player in spring training, and it's something you hear from every fighter in their fight camp. This is the best fight camp of my life. I'm in the best shape of my life. For once, I'd like to hear a fighter say, you know, I half-assed it. You know, Sergey Kovalev, I drank vodka every night, and, you know, I didn't fight at all. But you're not going to hear that. I'll fight whoever they put in front of me. That's when I hate in the ring. When you got Max Kellerman or Jim Gray or Bernardo Osuna or whoever your network is you're watching, and they go, you know, who do you want next? You know, and they put give you a bunch of names and clear fights that everyone wants. First of all, I got to thank Al Haymon. You know, I'll put anyone, whoever they put in front of me, you know, I'll fight. And that was something Pacquiao always did that annoyed us. Whenever, you know, he was scheduled to fight Mayweather, and it was like, just please call out Mayweather once. He would always say, I have to get back, talk to Bob Arum, and we come up with the plan. I'll fight whoever. I just stop saying they'll fight whoever they put in front of me. And finally, of course, the most famous one. Comes from the wise words of Mike Tyson. Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. I love those. But finally, our final tweet, and this one was a scary one. It came across the wire this morning. Comes from Mauro Ranallo, the voice of Showtime Boxing, one of the hardest working men in the combat sports world, tweeted out, please learn the Heimlich maneuver. Frank Shamrock saved my life with it tonight with the praying hands emoji. So we'll have to talk tomorrow, this weekend, at the Barclays Center for Spence Peterson. We'll be ringside for that. We'll talk tomorrow. Maybe he choked and Frank Shamrock put him in a back belly-to-belly suplex. But Mauro still with us, still tweeting. Mauro Ranallo, great Twitter follow. That's been that's been Twitter Hitters. Thank you, folks. Keeping the show rolling, our next guest here on Inside Boxing Live, former WBO Junior Welterweight Champion of the World. He's a master boxer, master chef, the pride of Long Island, the one and only Chris Algieri. How you doing, Chris?
Pretty good, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Let's play a game here. Where in the world is Chris Algieri? Because every time I open up Instagram, I go to your story. You're at a beach, you're at a pool, you're swimming, you're catching some rays, so I sure as hell know you're not here in freezing Long Island.
No, if you don't have to be, there's no reason to be in New York during the winter, so I am currently down in South Florida.
See, I saw on BoxingScene.com that you've been hired by Sullivan Barrera's camp, 170-pound, 175-pound contender, fighting Dimitri Bivol. That's great to see that you're picking up these gigs as a nutritionist. How is his camp going with Sullivan Barrera?
Yeah, it's been a great camp so far with Sullivan and his team. They're super solid. You know, so far so good. You know, it's still pretty early in camp, but you know, he's a serious guy, and he's taking this fight extremely serious. You know, he's about to try and make his dream come true by being a world champion. So he's giving it his all, and part of that was bringing me on.
Now, we saw you with Danny Jacobs' camp, thanks to the 24/7 cameras, and that's a great way to get the audience in on what you've been doing with some of these fight camps, and he brought you on as a nutritionist. Same thing with Barrera's camp, but this is something you've been doing for a very long time. So why don't you tell our viewers at home what Chris Algieri brings to these camps from a nutrition standpoint?
Yeah, like you said, I've been doing this for a really long time. I have a master's degree in clinical nutrition, and I'm also a certified sports nutritionist through the International Society of Sports Nutrition. So this is something that I've been working at, and not only for my own career, but you know, after a little bit, started working with a lot of other fighters, mostly UFC guys, MMA guys, some low level amateur boxer types, but now I'm starting to bring it to the elite level in boxing, and it's you know, it depends. It depends on how the athletes want to bring me on. Depends what their team is looking for. But, you know, like my work with Jacobs is definitely very special. I'm very involved in the team in terms of not only his camp nutrition, you know, his day-to-day fueling, but also as, you know, as we go through the camp with his conditioning, his running, some of his weight training, some of even his boxing stuff. You know, as you see, those last two fights have actually been in the corner with the Jacobs team. So that, you know, that role is has certainly expanded over the last couple of fights.
I mean, you read some of these quotes from Barrera. He said he's eating like he's never before, like never before. He's feeling great. He's feeling trim. Like, you know, try to take us through like an average day in the life of when you're with a Danny Jacobs or you're with a Sullivan Barrera. You know, you wake up. What are you doing for them? Like, what are you bringing to the table? Quite literally.
You know, well, each athlete is really, really different in terms of how they go about their training camp, how they go about their nutrition. You know, I tell all these guys, at the level that I'm coming in at, you guys are all good. You're all high-level guys. You're all elite level. I'm not going to reinvent the wheel as soon as I come in. So I have to kind of do a little research and development with each individual athlete, see what their training schedule is like, see what their metabolic output is like, so that I can then construct a perfect meal plan for them. So they're going to be properly fueled for their workouts, and they're going to make weight the right way come fight night. So, you know, right now with Sullivan, you know, we're getting up really early. We're up about 5:30, 6 a.m. every morning. You know, we're on the track by 7. We're putting in that work. And, you know, for the most part, we eat light before that. It's a pretty early workout. We get that out of the way, and we come home, have a large breakfast, get some rest. I've been posting everything on my social media, so if you're curious about what a world-class athlete eats day to day, you can really just check out my Instagram stories.
Dude, your Instagram stories are wild. Every time I'm like at home and I'm at my apartment and I'm just sitting on the couch, and I'll pull up your Instagram and like go to your story and see like the most ridiculous like turkey burger or something like that, and like makes me feel like crap first of all, and then I go out to the grocery store and try to like recreate that. So fans at home, you've got to check out Chris Algieri on social media. It's crazy, the food that you come up with, and I'm sure these fighters are, like, absolutely loving it.
Yeah, I mean, Sullivan said he's, like, he's not used to eating so much, and he's actually lighter now than he normally is at the beginning of camp. I got to feed the guy more to make sure that we're maintaining his weight and being able to, you know, be a big, strong, light heavyweight.
You say you have a master's degree from New York Tech. You're talking with a fellow Bear right here, man.
There you go, man. That's it.
Not the most going on in that campus, but it really gives you a chance to lock in on your studies, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that was one of the reasons that I chose that school. you know, the program they had there was fantastic. I learned a lot, kept a lot of good connections with my professors and students alike.
Yeah, and you also do a lot of great work with the Stony Brook Seawolves. I know they brought you on the football team to lend your IQ to them as well. Is that correct?
Yeah. I've actually been consulting with the entire athletic department, working with all the teams. Do a lot of work with the football team, a lot of work with the basketball team, the baseball team, the ladies lacrosse team. You know, it's great to work with such high level athletes from so many different sports.
Oh, it's wonderful, man. And let's talk a little about your boxing career, man. I know you want to get back into the ring. Last we saw you, you shared a ring with Errol Spence, who's fighting this weekend on Showtime against Lamont Peterson. I want to ask you, a guy that's been in the ring with an Errol Spence, what makes him so tough in there?
You know, he's got the amateur pedigree. He's an extremely technical guy. You know, from his punch technique to his defense, you know, he's really solid in the technique department. But on top of that, he's a big, strong, athletic guy. He's got a great way of making the ring that much smaller and making you fight his fight. And that's really what I think this fight is going to be about. You know, you've got Lamont Peterson, who's another junior welterweight guy coming up to 47 to where Spence is, of a particularly large welterweight. You know, and I see that Spence is going to look to make Lamont stand in front of him and fight.
Yeah, how do you see this one playing out? I know Lamont likes to move, and you know Spence seems like he's more of a come-forward type of fighter. I know he digs to the body. I don't know if you saw this on Instagram. Errol Spence, Peterson was up on at fight camp, and he had his trainer just beating him to the body with the medicine ball. Do you see it kind of playing out like that, where Peterson's going to try to move a little more, and you know Spence is going to stalk him out?
You know, I don't really know, because Peterson, he's solid all around. You know, he can move, he can stand, he can walk a guy down, he can do the high guard defense, he can do a little slippery stuff. It really depends on what he chooses to, a style to fight, or it comes down to, you know, what he's going to be forced to fight. So, like I said, I think that Spence is going to try and get him to stand in front of him. And who knows? Lamont might meet him right there. He might meet him in front of him and kind of go tick for tack. I don't know if that's the best game plan, but, no, you never know. When you're in there, it's a completely different thing.
Talking now with Chris Algieri. He's with Sullivan Barrera's camp right now. Also, I know you want to get back in the ring. I saw you at Gleason's gym at one of the workouts a few months ago. Obviously in good shape. You want to get going. I saw you shadow boxing over there. You know, what's the latest on Chris Algieri, the boxer?
You know, I've been really busy with these other camps, but it's been again, a great opportunity for me to actually train and really work on my craft and get some great sparring. So, you know, 2018 is got to be the year I re-enter that squared circle, get my career back on track, and looking to make another major run.
Do you want to stay at 147? You looking to go to 140? What are you looking to do in terms of weight?
No, I think ultimately 140 is my place to be. That's my home. I was the undefeated world champion there. I never lost my title. I was stripped, you know, moving up to fight Pacquiao. And, you know, there were big fights and big opportunities at 47. So, you know, I slept there, you know, for those fights. But, I mean, ultimately, I think 140 is where I'm best served.
Now, you bring up Manny Pacquiao and just unbelievable where your career took you to Macau. Do you ever, like, you know, you wake up in the morning or you're out, you know, traveling and just think, you know, I fought Manny Pacquiao. I went 12 rounds with Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I really think about it like that. You know, I just kind of, you know, when you're living it and you're in it, and I'm still very much in it, it's not something like that. Maybe one day I'll reminisce, think about all the things that are going on. But right now I'm just really just thinking ahead, and I've got so many good things going on. You know, I'm kind of focused on the moment.
All right, talk about the current stable of welterweights. I think Errol Spence is a fighter that's going to, you know, really turn it on 2018. You were in the ring with Amir Khan as well. Amir Khan just signed a fight deal with Matchroom Boxing. Out of the current stable of 147-pounders right now in the game, who do you think is going to reign supreme in 2018?
You know, you've got you know, Thurman. I think he's coming off the bench from being hurt. You know, you got Spence up there. You know, Sean Porter's always there lurking, like, right, you know, just below the top.
Right.
You know, Khan coming back in. But honestly, I think Kelbrook just moved out of the weight class. But I think, you know, right now you're looking at Thurman and Spence are the two top dogs. But, you know, we'll see. Who knows how long those guys will stay at welterweight as well. So I think even the next year you can see those guys moving up. You know, so you never really can tell. The landscape of the boxing world changes constantly.
Oh, that's for sure, man. I wanted to ask you something about the UFC, and I don't know how closely you follow the UFC. I'm kind of like a fringe fan myself, but I did see a lot about these drastic weight cuts that have been going on, and I'm trying to figure out the pinpoint what exactly is causing them. You know, there's so many great fights that are being canceled in the UFC because of these weight cuts, and you just don't see it that much in boxing. I thought maybe you can shed some light on it. Why are so many of these fighters, you know, a Uriah Hall almost had a seizure and almost died because of his drastic weight cut. What is causing these fighters to not make weight like this? Why are we seeing this so much in the UFC?
You know, I work with a bunch of UFC fighters as well. I'm actually working the camp with Volkan Ozdemir. He's fighting for the light heavyweight title versus DC January 20th.
Right.
You know, it's just a different philosophy and a different culture, you know, when it comes to cutting weight. A lot of the UFC guys or MMA athletes come from wrestling backgrounds where they use a lot of drastic weight cut measures to, you know, to pull the weight, especially they wait to the last minute to do it. Guys are walking around 20, 30 pounds above their weight division, cutting 15 to 20 pounds a couple of days before the fight. You know, and so many of them do that and have that mentality that it's just a different culture, different philosophy about how they approach the weight cut. Also, it's a different sport. Boxers can't do that because boxing is contested at such a higher level of speed. You know, reactions and speed is really important, and there's also a lot more kind of consistent output. So being a bigger, heavier, plodding guy is not really going to help most boxers.
Right.
MMA is a little different. There's the whole ground component where size and weight and just overall just strength is going to be extremely important as opposed to just being explosive or quick. So there's a lot of reasons why you see this. It is getting a little ridiculous when you got, you know, major fights that are literally getting called off because guys are injuring themselves to make the weight.
Well, it's pretty clear that the UFC needs to bring in Chris Algieri.
hey, man, guys are doing it individually in the private sector, but maybe there's a need for more of a global strategy on how to go about this.
No, is it because I know that the WBC and a lot of these other organizations, they have like a 30-day check-in, like where you see a picture of like, you know, Golovkin on the scale, you know, 30 days before his Canelo fight, coming in at like, you know, say a 170. Does the UFC not have that?
I don't think they have anything structured in place like that, but honestly, it's not going to matter. The guys are just going to cut weight for that weigh-in too. You know, they'll dehydrate themselves and they'll skip dinner and they'll skip breakfast and then they'll sweat out the last, you know, 6-7 pounds just to make the 30-day weigh-in. So it really, you can't really go based on that. It's just there has to be a paradigm shift about the whole mentality of weight cuts and how to go about it. I'm not exactly sure how to do it systemically, but you know, it's definitely needed.
Yeah, if there's one guy that knows about weight cutting and the nutrition, it's Chris Algieri. Thank you so much for joining us, Chris. Get back to the beach, the pool, the championship lifestyle. I love it, man. And so what do you got going on for the rest of the day?
About to hit the boxing gym now. I'm going to get my work in before, you know, Sullivan has his training in the afternoon. We ran this morning, and now we're just kind of relaxing between sessions, getting ready to go back to work.
That's wonderful stuff, man. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to seeing you back in the ring. If not, we'll keep talking to you here on Inside Boxing Live.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, right, man.
No problem, man. Chris Algieri, there he is, master boxer and master chef. The guy's got a lot going on. It's great to see a guy like him who, you know, started off as a kickboxer, 20-0 kickboxing champion. Then he moved over to boxing. We saw what he did, stayed undefeated in boxing, and he fought a Ruslan Provodnikov. I mean, in a fight that no one gave him credit for. No one gave him a chance for. I was ringside for that fight. You know, took some punishment early on. Did the smart thing, as we know with Chris Algieri, very smart guy. Took the smart thing, which a lot of fighters should do more often, taking a knee there. Ultimately, went back, beats Ruslan Provodnikov, which sets him up for a fight with Manny Pacquiao. I mean, the guy took his career, or he's still in the process of his career, but he's getting everything he possibly can out of his career. And now look at the work he's doing on the nutrition side with Danny Jacobs, Sullivan Pereira. And I have a feeling that a lot more fighters are going to be hiring Chris Algieri to be part of their fight camp. So shout out to Chris Algieri and Kevin Rooney for getting this interview set up for us here on Inside Boxing Live. All right, we're going to end today's show like we end every show here on Inside Boxing Live, and that's with our good hook of the week. We like to end the show on a positive note. Believe it or not, there are positive stories in the world of boxing. We go to the heavyweight division. Deontay Wilder recently visits the Children's Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. These pictures were posted on the PBC Instagram, all their social media. You know, you're not just the heavyweight champion of the world, you're the champion of the people. Deontay Wilder, if you get a chance to talk to him, he's a great guy. He's got a big heart. You know, he comes off as a menacing heavyweight, but good for him going to visiting the Children's Hospital, one of the best children's hospital in the country over in Memphis, Tennessee. He spent the day visiting with children, brought his belt, a lot of photo ops, and just overall lifting the spirits of these young kids as they bounce back from various illnesses. So great job out of you, Deontay Wilder, and all the people over at PBC. We actually have two recipients of the Good Hook of the Week here on Inside Boxing Live. It's Deontay Wilder, and it's Jeff Horn. Jeff Horn is going to start an anti-bullying campaign in Australia after the tragic suicide death of teenager Amy Everett, which has shooken up the country of Australia. You see Amy Everett on the right. A lot of bullying happens here in the States. We highlighted some of that here on Inside Boxing Live with the young boy that went viral. And it's a worldwide epidemic now, and it's disgusting, quite frankly. And it starts with many reasons why bullying happens. We won't get into that here. But Jeff Horn was a victim of bullying himself as a kid. And he saw this story, and he said, "You know what? I'm gonna start this. I'm gonna be the face of anti-bullying in Australia." Jeff Horn is probably one of the most famous people in Australia today. After his win over Manny Pacquiao, he was a victim of bullying as a kid, and this brings, when I think of this, of Jeff Horn doing this, and I know everyone likes to get on Jeff Horn as a professional boxer because of his controversial win over Pacquiao and some of the quotes that come out of his camp, you know, challenging McGregor, and some of the crazy things that come out of his camp. But he's a good person, and he's using his platform as a world champion to do better in the world. And it makes me think of a world champion from a few years back, one of my favorite fighters, Sergio Martinez. And Sergio was a great person outside the ring. Talk to Lou DiBella about Sergio Martinez, and he'll tell you that he's a close friend, not just someone I work with. And Sergio always said that being a world champion is more than just in the ring. You're a champion for all the people, and a lot of times, as a true champion in my eyes, they take up a cause and they become an advocate for it. And for Sergio Martinez, his was bullying as well. He did so much work with kids in his home country and here in the States, helping the anti-bullying cause. So good on Jeff Horn for taking up this initiative and trying to stop the bullying epidemic as it rears its ugly head even all the way in Australia. So great job out of Deontay Wilder. Great job out of Jeff Horn, the good hook of the week. Closing out the show today, it was a jam-packed show. It was very entertaining. I hope you guys all enjoyed it out there. We got to thank our guests. We got to thank Brian Campbell. We got to thank the one and only Chris Algieri. We got to thank Al Foran for calling in all the way from Ireland, making us crack up here on the set. Great job from our producer, Nick Canobio, executive producer, Bob Canobio. It's Fight Week, Spence Peterson Fight Week. Check us out, CompuBox social media on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. We're going to be covering Spence Peterson thoroughly, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Inside Boxing Live. Dan Canobio signing off, everybody.